Leanne is going to come, the team are going to be ready just to sing our Advent song. We're now up to the fourth verse, each one gets added, and there'll be one added next Sunday, Christmas Day.
Is it starting to feel a lot like Christmas with all this happening? Yeah? It's hard to believe it's going to be next week, but my theme of relating is probably quite apt, as we're going to be doing functions very shortly, and we've probably done quite a bit of that already, and mixing with friends and relations, but it's mostly been brought about in my conversations that I've had with a lot of you over these last few weeks. And in particular, was Caroline and Sharon a few weeks ago. And Caroline made this quite insightful remark to me. And she said, you know, our worship doesn't just happen when we're singing. She said, it's throughout the whole service, the prayer time, the tithing, the message, you know, that we're having. She said, and it goes, you know, an insightful remark that it goes on a bit further as we walk down those stairs. So let's join now as we start the service throughout and then after, as we worship and praise, remembering this candle of love. The candle is burning to the tomb of Wayne and Major.
Notices to remind us of. Next Sunday, we plan, as I believe we do each year, to receive an offering for Tear Fund. And there are envelopes in the foyer as you come in, and also out the back here. If you plan to give on that occasion, take one of those offerings and send it in, or for the offering next Sunday. As I've already said, there's the community events on today, which is wonderful. And I believe Jim has a notice to share with us right now. Thanks, Jim.
Just about the other week, I mentioned about session, just saying what we've been talking about in session, and just in case not everybody was there that might be here today, I'll just repeat a couple of those things. After our meeting on the 29th, we had a profitable time praying and thinking about the way ahead for us as a parish. We want to let you know that we're working hard at planning a number of things, including the workload of our managers with regard to the upkeep of 5 or 6 of our buildings on 3 sites, addressing the hurts and issues of the recent past, and planning a future vision for us as we carry out the mission of the church. And although this perhaps wasn't quite mentioned at session, Doug and I have been talking about what some of those things might be, and things along the line of perhaps utilising some of the Alpha program things on maybe a marriage course or something like that. Could be something that we could look at running this next year as a church. The other thing that I want to mention is that yesterday a number of us from the parish here attended Gary Wilson's funeral, and as many of you will know, that she's the daughter of Tom and Joy Wilson, who ministered in our church here many years ago, probably mid-70s to the early 80s. And Gary's remained in Gore over that time, and of course Rosalie's Malcolm is still in the area and others too. So perhaps if we could just take a moment and pray for them now. Father, we thank you for Gay and what she meant to so many people, whether it be in her work with Women's Refuge or Idea Services or with counselling. Father, we thank you for her life. But Father, we thank you that we had the privilege of knowing her too and her family. And we pray now for Malcolm and Rosalie and the other members of the family and her daughter and her son, that you would be with them, that they might know your comfort in this time, that they would be able to just have that peace in their hearts, which I'm sure they do, that Gay is with you, safe. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, birthdays?
Celine.
Any birthdays?
Celine has one.
Celine has one?
She's having
one. Okay. Yeah. Where is Celine hiding?
She's with Leanne.
Oh, right.
You've been helping on the door.
You've been helping on the door. Wonderful. Celine, you're 15 years young. Bring me out of here. Oh. We're gonna sing a celebration song. Well done, Celine. Anyone else celebrating birthdays this past week? No? Anybody celebrating a birthday next week? Jesus is, anyway. That's a bit tricky, isn't it? Certificates, things to brag about today. Hello? Anyone there? Oh, nothing. No big fish caught or...
I'd just
like to say that Dan's back at home after having his surgery, and everything's going
really well.
So
thank you for everyone that has kept him in their prayers.
Wonderful.
Please continue to pray for
Dylan. Yes, yes, we will. And excellent. A little bit later in the service, we're going to have an opportunity, just as a fellowship together, to an intercessory time. There's individuals, people on your heart, people that need prayer. Please, let's take time together as a family to pray for them. So we'll do that in just a little time. Children, are you around? Anyone there like to come to the front? We've got something special for you up here. Hello? Anyone at the back there like to come up to the front? Because we want you to take something back with you. Cool. In that chair there first. Any older children like to come up to the front? Okay. Those of you who can remember, I don't know if you can remember, anybody have rules at school? You have rules at school? Can you think of one rule? What do you have?
Well, we have a rule, but we don't work with it.
You have a rule, but you don't work with it. Okay. No secrets, right? Do you have any rules at home? No rules at home? Can I come and stay at your place? No rules at home. Oh, wow. Is there any rules on the road?
Give way to the biggest tractor.
Give way to the biggest tractor. Absolutely. You're very smart if you do. Yeah, there are rules everywhere, aren't there? You know, there are even rules that the Jewish people have. Can you think of 10 of them, what they were called? No? Not any good people know what they might be? The 10 suggestions? The 10 commandments. That's right, the 10 commandments. They were the ones that were given by Moses, and there was 5 down one side and 5 down the other, and I'll tell you about that in a moment. But did you know that the Jewish people had 613 rules? Could you remember 613 rules? Not just 10. 613. That's a whole lot. They had 248 do's, and they had 365 don'ts, one for every day of the year. Do's and don'ts. Do you think we still have some rules around at the moment? Sometimes they're not written down, are they? Yeah. Well, sometimes people get trapped about rules, and there were some lawyers tried to trap Jesus about what was the most important rules of the Christian faith at that time. What were the most important rules? And do you know what Jesus said? He said there's 2 of them. First one is, can you read that for me?
I can't read.
You can't read? Can you read?
You read that. Love God.
Peter can read? Love God. That's right. And the second rule was love people. So we'll say that together, shall we? Love God and love people. Now that's not too complicated, is it? Are they pretty easy rules? A little bit harder than we might think. But our theme today is about love. And so God wants us to love Him and to love other people. And the 2 things that we need to remember. So we've got something special for you today. If you take some of those back with you, and you can do some work in place of Sunday school today. We've got some worksheets and things to do for different age groups. Sort that one out. Wonderful. Take the whole thing. Put them all in there and take the whole thing. That makes sense. God, we thank you for our children. We pray for them today. Your blessing would rest on them, remain with them, fill them with joy in their hearts, give them that simplicity of faith that we need to emulate as adults. And in Jesus' name we pray for you. Amen. And take opportunity now to give our offerings to the Lord's work in this place. Thank you. together. God, we thank you for the gifts, the whole heart that we come with today. We thank you, Lord, that we give in response to the greatest whole heart that has ever been given, the gift of Jesus to our world. And we thank you, Lord, for the awesome privilege that we have of giving in this way. Bless those who are responsible for the disbursement of these funds. Give them wisdom in that, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you. Put that out there. Wonderful. Leanne's busy this morning. She's got some worship leader. Being in about three places at once. Well done. Going to lead us in our worship songs today. Thank you.
I'm just carrying on with that relating theme. I know we've got the love theme going on too, but I think the two do connect. And I just want to allude to some further conversations that I had with Elizabeth, Merle and Charlotte. And then a few weeks later, it was with you too, David, and we were just reminiscing of when Charlotte was quite little. And I'm just making some comparisons here. My husband Gavin go tailing at their place, and we had a very large Hunterway dog called Jack. And he probably could have been a bit intimidating to some people because of his size and his bark, but he was just a gorgeous dog. And we were talking the other day, we met David about him, and you know, he just had a way too of relating to people. My mother-in-law did not like dogs, but Jack always won her over, and she would always ask after him. And so you know, this dog was so gentle with Charlotte. You know, after the mustering had been done, Gavin always say, come straight back, and here's this wee little tot and this big horse of a dog with her arm wrapped around him. And he was so gentle, but he was really powerful too, that he could bring down lambs and sort of subdue run cattle as well. Really forgiving and quite loyal. And just driving away, I was just sort of comparing in a parable form Jesus, because he was the son. He said, let the children come to me. And, you know, he could relate to all sorts of people. The woman at the well, the adulterous woman, the Pharisees, the disciples. And then he was so strong, so jaw-droppingly, head-turningly, amazingly strong that he could calm storms and chase out demons and raise the dead. So these comparisons were just made through my relating and conversation with you over these last few weeks, and just gleaning little bits of words. And it was quite interesting because Doug had put a word in the newsletter. What is your word? And this word, relating, has been my word for quite some time. But as I say, being enhanced by him and only his resourceful ways that he shows us. So we'll just pray. Thank you for your precious son, Jesus, who was delivered to us many years ago. This amazing gift who grew amongst humanity in wisdom and stature, and is such an example of the word relating. Father, we see this imprinted in all things in creation, our animals, as farmers, our weather. You are always about us to see, adore, and worship. We love you, Lord. Just our first song this morning is Let's Just Join. It's probably very parallels. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And then Hark the Herald Angels sing.
Thank you.
Encourage us greatly, Lord, for the year ahead to step out further, to relate to each other, maybe somebody new each week, for we glean such treasure from each other. Lord, we are learning more that we cannot relate when we isolate. As our candle has been on love this morning, help us choose to love people wholeheartedly. Indeed, is your example to each one of us that you show us the world, Lord, what you are like.
Amen. Please be seated, and let's continue with that spirit of prayer as we remember those in our family, those that are outside of the family but we know are in our sphere of relationship that we might bring before the Lord. A question before we pray, or as we continue to pray. Do we believe in our prayer? Do we believe that we talk and consult with a God who hears us and answers prayer? It may not be instantaneously, but he will always answer. I've heard the theory that he doesn't answer sometimes, but he always answers. He always hears his God. We might not like the answer, but he always answers, because he's a God of all wisdom, not just some. So let's bring those things that are troubling our hearts before him and expect that the sovereign of the universe hears and answers. Let's do that together.
Lord, I thank you that you came for everyone, not just for us. You came for people who are completely different from us and for people on the outside of the world. Just lift up to you family members who are far away. And so just pray that you would be with them. And that they would know the Prince of Peace and all his glory this Christmas.
So thank you that you incline your ear to hear us here gathered at Waikiki.
Yeah.
Well, you know this place. You know where we've come from together here. Lord, just thank you that good news that Hamish Brimmer's operation and is recovering. And we pray for your hand on his continued recovery. And Lord, he'll be strengthened in body, soul, and spirit. At this particular time of the year, Lord, there'll be that time of, you know, to just to enjoy who you are and to relate to family as well. So Lord, we just thank you for the Hamish and Gwen and their families. And we also left the whole family to you as well. And John's situation, Lord, you know everything in the family. We pray for your strengthening and your wholeness, your body, soul, and spirit, and the whole family dynamic and family need.
Yes.
Gracious God, as well, we just thank you this morning for all love, mercy, and grace. We thank you especially this time of year, Father, that you express that love, mercy and grace through coming to dwell among us. We thank you, Father, that we can experience your presence with us now. And I just come this morning, Father, and commit to you that which I cannot share that with the others. I just pray, Father, that you are all that you claim to be, and that you will do what you said you will do. We just ask this.
Lord, I thank you
that
it's this time of year, especially, Lord, that expect and hope that is within us, that you will manifest your love in those that we care about in their lives, and that your love would reach into every part and every corner and care for every detail of those that we love and hold in our heart, that we know, Father, are far away from you, but Lord, you are always near. Thank you, Father, that your hand is ready to provide, that your love is always, always looking over. And Lord, we thank you for that love. We thank you for the expectant hope that we have right now at this time of year, especially as we're reminded of it for our families, for our friends. Thank you, Jesus.
To you, Father, after his operation. Father, we just pray for continued healing.
Yes.
In his name, Lord. Pray that, that you're just doing a work in that name right now, Father. And, I pray for Caroline's knee as well, Lord, that's sore at the moment, Father. I pray for healing in that area. And also for Jim, Father, Lord, that, that you would just watch over them, Father, and John.
Thank you today that you speak by your Spirit so powerfully through the world, through your created universe. Lord, through all kinds of means you speak. And for those that we don't know, that at this time of the year particularly, feel the hurt and the pain of separation. For those that are in troubled places of the world where they just don't have enough to eat. Those that are just torn apart by war and trouble and turmoil. God, help our hearts to reach out to them in some way or another. And Lord, by your Spirit, that you would speak those words of peace and comfort and hope and of love to them in their circumstances. Lord, sometimes it's so troubling for us to see so much need in our world and yet feel so helpless. God, thank you that you're still in charge. I pray that you'll give us all a sense of encouragement that you're at work mightily by your Spirit in these days. And together we bring these thoughts before you, Lord, spoken and unspoken. And thank you that you hear us. And we look forward expectantly to an answer. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for sharing in that with us. I was reminded during the week about why we sometimes share jokes or funnies in church. Do you know why we do that? Apart from the fact that it's good to have a laugh, less muscles are required to laugh than to frown in your face. But it's to actually deal with religious spirits. It's to mess them up. I hate it. So, here we go. If you can start the day without caffeine, if you are always cheerful, If you can eat the same food every day and be grateful for it, if you are understanding when your loved ones are too busy for you, if you never treat a rich friend better than a poor friend, if you face the world without lies and deceit, then you are probably the family dog. That was so appropriate, Leanne. Thank you about that this morning. This is an oldie, but I think a goodie. If you've heard that, please excuse it. But a man has been lost and walking in the desert for about 5 days. One hot day, actually, they're all hot. He comes to the home of a preacher, tired and weak. He crawls up to the house and collapses on the doorstep. The preacher takes him in and nurses him back to health. And feeling better, the man asks the preacher for directions to the nearest town. The preacher tells him the directions and offers to lend him his horse to make it. The preacher says, however, there's a special thing about this horse. You have to say, thank God, to make it go, and amen, to make it stop. Heard that one? Okay. Anxious to get to town, the man says, sure, okay, and gets on the horse, and he says, thank God. And sure enough, the horse starts walking. But later he says louder, thank God, thank God. And the horse starts trotting. Feeling really brave, the man says, thank God, thank God, thank God. And the horse is soon up to full run. About then he realizes he's heading for a huge cliff and yells, whoa! But the horse doesn't even slow. It's coming up real quick and he's doing everything he can to make the horse stop. Whoa, stop, hold on. And finally he remembers, amen. The horse stops a mere centimeter away from the cliff's edge, almost throwing him over his head. And the man, panting with heart racing, wipes the sweat from his face, leans back in the saddle and says, I'll leave the last couple of words there for you. Are there any religious spirits left? Scripture this morning is from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians is an interesting letter, one of the letters that Paul wrote from prison. And Philippi, where he wrote this, was a Roman colony in that day. And a Roman colony was just a small little idea of what Rome was like, a city of about 15,000 people. Very few Jews there, not even enough for a synagogue. Required 12 men to actually have a synagogue, wasn't enough. But there were prayer stations, but there were believers there. And they'd come out of emperor worship, where Augustus was the emperor at that time. And an emperor worship meant, you know, he was God, claimed to be God, actually. And so Paul is writing to them to help them get a better handle on some of that. So verse 5, think as Christ Jesus thought. Jesus has always been as God is. I need to stop there for a second. Jesus has always been as God is. But he did not hold to his rights as God. He put aside everything that belonged to him and made himself the same as a servant who is owned by someone. He became human by being born as a man. After he became a man, he gave up his important place and obeyed by dying on a cross. And because of this, God lifted Jesus high above everything else. And he gave him a name that is greater than any other name, so that when the name of Jesus is spoken, everyone in heaven and on earth and under the earth will bow before him, and every tongue will say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone will give honor to God the Father. Possibly not thought of that as a Christmas text, but it is. Big time, really is. Jesus has always been as God is. Christmas loses its meaning if we don't recognize the significance of the fact that Jesus hadn't always been here. He'd been somewhere else. In heaven's glory. The backdrop of the manger where the baby Jesus lay was actually a heavenly throne. And Jesus stepped down from that throne to a feeding trough. It's good for us to pause and consider that. He is God. He is divine. He is pre-existent. It means before this manger scene that he is. Before the shepherds and the wise men and Mary and Joseph, he is. It means that before the prophet Isaiah, he is. Before Jacob, he is. Before Moses, he is. Before Abraham, he is. Before Noah, he is. Before Adam and Eve and a snake, he is. He is the Christ of all creation. In fact, he is the one that brought it together. I'm going to read that in a moment. This frail little baby, and thank you, Judy, for your prayer, reminding us of children about the vulnerability, that God would make himself so vulnerable is just a bit much to hang on to. It's one of the reasons why people don't buy the story much. They can't understand the humility and the vulnerability that God would actually do that to come into our scene. It doesn't compute well because it's spiritually revealed. It means that this frail little baby is no ordinary baby. And I think that, and I have to say it, I'm sorry to say it in this way, but sometimes we just get all sentimental about this. You know, and it's a nice story of the baby at Christmas time. It's about a pre-existent Christ coming into our world, bringing his world with him. And that's a whole, that's a whole different thing. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, we read this. Listen to this carefully. This is almost a bit much. You ready for this? Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Yes, even animals. Isn't that incredible? Oh, look, if you go home sometime in your busy schedule and read this again and soak in that for a while, just read that a few times and just stay packed on there, I guarantee it will change your life. You will never see Christmas the same again. You'll go past the tinsel and the fat man with the jolly red suit. You'll go way past that into a stratosphere beyond anything that we've ever known before. This is the pre-existent Christ. The word he is used about 13 times in this little passage. It's always been about Jesus. He is right now about Jesus. When we're dead and gone, it's still about Jesus. The reason we're here as a church, it's about Jesus. It's about people, but it's about Jesus. It's God first, people second. He is King. That's why we worship him. He is King of the Jews. He's also King of us. Because he is, he is. Everything is his. And he gave everything up. And that's the point of the passage this morning. He gave everything up. He didn't lose his deity. He didn't lose his godness when he came amongst us. He added humanity to his godness. So the baby that was in the manger was God. How could God do such a thing? I don't know. It says in verse 7 of our text, instead he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being, the King, the eternal Word, God in the flesh, emptied himself of his divine rights, came from heaven to earth, went from King of creation to a little baby. Someone once said that heaven went bankrupt for us. I like that. Heaven went bankrupt for us. God in the flesh went bankrupt. He gave everything he could possibly give to become one of us. Everything. He emptied himself. And so, in this story, we come to this point, and it's not a long story that I have to share with you this morning, but it's why. Why? Why would God do such a thing? Why? Why would the Eternal One choose to enter into time and space in our world? Why would he do that? Why would the divine become mortal, immortal become mortal? Why? Why would God choose to be born through a birth canal like everybody else? Make himself vulnerable like everybody else, totally dependent on Joe and Mary. Why? Why would the one who had everything choose to have nothing? One word. Just one word. One word that describes who God is. One word that describes the life mission of Jesus. One word that makes life worth living. One word that we can't cope with because we don't understand the word very well. One word that people write songs about, one word that we long to experience. Every one of us has to have it. Just one word. And you know what the word is. It's a four-letter word. It starts with L. Why did the King give up everything? Because he loved us. You know, the most famous Christmas verse is John 3:16. Does anybody know that verse? God so loved the world, the cosmos, the extent of his love, the planet, Earth, he loved, this world. Still does. Still does. So why did Jesus empty himself? Because he loved his world. He created this place and everything in it. Colossians 1 tells us that. He made everything. We have chosen to kind of disconnect ourselves from the animal kingdom and from everything else, but he made it all. There's an amazing oneness, cohesiveness about this. Dogs teach us a lot about love. Unconditional love. You can bawl them out, which you probably do if they're a working dog every day, but they still love you. Is that true or is that true? Try that doing that to a human and see what happens. Some of you do, I know, but it doesn't work, does it? We have Christmas because Jesus came. Abstract ideas, love, goodness, peace, and we talk about them, we remind ourselves about them. But the one thing that we struggle with so often is to receive the love, the unconditional love of Jesus. The unconditional love of the Father that's expressed in Jesus. Because love is not a noun. It is a verb. And love now has a face. Love has a face. I wrote these and I think I'll share them. He loves the poor. He loves the homeless. He loves the deadbeat, the orphan, the adulterer, the homosexual, the heterosexual, the liar, the thief, the murderer, the prideful, the lonely, the widow, the widower, the ugly, the pretty, the dirty, the up and out, the billionaires, kings and queens, Donald Trump, presidents, prime ministers, the untouchable, the dirty, the diseased, loves them all. Loves them all. You know what that means? Loves you too. So how will you respond to this? If love is a verb, how will you respond to this? Well, I believe there's two ways that we can do this. And I shared them earlier on. They're the two of the greatest commandments. They are the commandments. Five of the Ten Commandments were about loving God. The other five were about loving people. You realize that? That's why Jesus summed up the law in those two commandments. I want to close this morning before we have a song that we will finally close with. But for my little part here, I want to share with you, and without comment really, just leave this with you. It's a part of a story out of a book called Old Turtle and the Broken Truth. It tells a story of a broken world and how it got that way. And it was never meant to be that way. It was meant to be whole. One night, in a faraway land that is somehow not so far away, a truth falls from the stars. And as it falls, it breaks into two pieces. One piece blazes off through the sky and the other falls straight to the ground. One day a man stumbles upon the gravity-drawn truth and finds carved on it the words, "You are loved." It makes him feel good, so he keeps it and shares it with the people in his tribe. The thing sparkles and makes the people who have it feel warm and happy. It becomes their most prized possession and they call it the truth. Those who have the truth grow afraid of those who don't have it, who are different. And those who don't have it covet it. And soon people are fighting wars over the small truth, trying to capture it for themselves. A little girl who is troubled by the growing violence, greed, and destruction in her once peaceful world goes on a journey through the mountains of imagining, the river of wondering why, and the forest of finding out. To speak with Old Turtle, the wise counselor. Old Turtle tells her that the truth is broken and missing a piece that shot off in the night sky so long ago. And together they search for it, and when they find it, the little girl puts the jagged piece in her pocket and returns to her people. She tries to explain, but no one will listen or understand. Finally, a raven flies the broken truth to the top of the tower where the other piece has been ensconced for safety, and the rejoining pieces shine their full message. You are loved, and so are they. And the people began to comprehend, and the earth begins to heal. God, thank you today for the fact that love has a face. Love stepped out of eternity into time. And we are so awesomely privileged to remember this, to ponder it, to think about it, to come before you and worship you who is love in essence. And Lord, you've caused us to respond in our hearts to love others. And so God, this morning, may this be so for all of us, for your glory, Amen. We're going to have an MP4 as we close. It's probably been played here before, and you probably know the song well. There's a part in it that, once again, could deal with religious spirits. But that's okay. As we sing, you can join and sing the song, or you can choose to perhaps stand and just enjoy it. It's a wonderful song.
Bending beneath the weight of his word.
as we conclude this part of our service, you know, it's really now the service begins. That we go away with that echo in our hearts and our heads. He loves us. He loves us. And my benediction over us today is simply that. He loves us. Demonstrated in his birth, his death, and his resurrection, and his power at work within us. He loves us.